The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Bulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. Wow, I hadn't heard this for a long time, this echo. I haven't heard that for a long time. So producer, if you could help me out, we do have a bit of an echo. Normally it's me who hears it, but not on the audience side, but I'm hearing the echo for sure. Yeah, so good. We got it straight. Again, welcome to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shabar Bulang, your host. I'm so glad if you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you wish to give us a call today, you can call us on 323-6232. Or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Not so sure my mother would be listening today, but who knows? Keep her in your prayers. You can also catch us on Flow TV 612. So I have a very special guest who will be joining me really soon. I'm looking forward to that discussion, actually. And then at about 3 o'clock, we will have a conversation with Comfort Suites, and then perhaps finish up with our special guest. Yesterday, we had a very interesting conversation about independence and whether or not, in fact, we are independent. And my guest was listening, and we had a very interesting conversation off air. And I just thought to myself, what a joy it would be just to really have a conversation with this gentleman, because it always is. And I see that he has joined us now. Welcome, retired Archdeacon Father James Palacios. How are you, sir? You're muted. You have to unmute, Father. So we can hear you.
Ah, good. There it is.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, man. No. I guess I often comment after your show rather than during your show, right?
Yes, exactly right. But both are always interesting and quite enjoyable for me. So no problem whatsoever. I'm glad you're available. This is a special time for the country.
Surely is.
As we celebrate this 50th anniversary of independence. And, you know, Father, I this is the very first question I want to ask you. And honestly, I can't tell you. I'm almost like a child picking up candies, even though I don't want kids to eat too much candy these days. But you would have been, unless I am mistaken, about 21 at the time we turned independent.
Exactly. 21 and 1 month.
Exactly right. So you are not someone who heard someone say this was what it was like prior to independence, or this is what happened at the day of independence. You were mature enough, aware enough, conscious enough to understand what was going on. True or not true?
Yes, very much within the throes of social activism at the time. I was studying for the priesthood in Barbados and at Codrington College, along with the University of the West Indies. And as you would appreciate, in the 70s, the late 60s and early and 70s in particular, that the West Indies was really a hotbed for social activism. And they were tossing around all kinds of philosophical and economic theories. And of course, the Michael Manley going into socialism, and before that, after him, Maurice Bishop in Grenada. So I was quite naturally a part of that culture, a part of that experiment, at least in thought, especially being in the academic circles of UWI. And so, no, I was very much there. So when I came home for the summer, and I must say too that the students on campus and the Bahamian students would bear this out. They used to call us Yankee. They used to say, yes, so American, you know about that.
Yeah, definitely.
We didn't think so, but quite naturally our proximity to the U.S. caused them to think so. The point I want to make is, yes, I was very much involved with the process and very much interested in what's happening.
So here's my next question, because again, I am so eager to hear this. So as a 21-year-old, describe the Bahamas before independence, how you feel, how you experienced it. What was happening to your recollection?
Okay, I came from Inagua in 63, which 4 years before majority rule. One of the most important thing to me is that most of the students who were in my school, in my class, now were finished school at age 14, full stop.
At age 14, finished, done.
Finished, unless you passed for Government High, which was the only government-sponsored school at the time, or SAC, St. John's of in 1947, St. Anne's in 1955, St. Andrews, you know, the private schools and the QCs. But basically, factually speaking, you left school. And in Inagua, you go learn trade. The girls learn to be seamstress or be a maid in somebody's home. Some of the people from Morton in their homes. Boys learn mechanic work, et cetera, those who were rather sharp. They had a system called the monitor system, where you would, at age 14 or 15, you were under the tutelage of a teacher, especially the principal, who would help you in evening classes and would have you go into the classroom and teach. So you had some people who were 55 years old, who had finished 40 years in the public service because they started as monitors. And we must also remember that it wasn't until 1969, I think it was, that R.M. Bailey was the first, well, it wasn't R.M. Bailey, it was Highbury Park. It was the first government-sponsored or open high school. I see that's very, very important because my parents told me that if you want to come to Nassau, then you got pass to go to school. Mm-hmm. Other than that, stay in Inagua, or in some cases, you come to Nassau, work, and then you go on to Freeport. So at age 11, my brothers were able to come, and I came after them. But that's the most monumental thing for me, the fact that after 67, you had these opportunities open up.
And interestingly for me, Father, is that people sometimes get the racial history of the Bahamas a little mixed up with the fact that the Bahamas was colonized by Great Britain. Now, there may be a point at which those two conflate, but the fact of the matter is majority rule, as an example, was an achievement of political power by a majority Black people in terms of their ability to vote and what have you, and participate in democracy. But independence was about another country being responsible for you as a country.
Right, and you see, let's face it, at age 18, most of us want to be independent of our parents.
Right.
So if you were around that time, you have a good idea of what independence is supposed to mean. Mm. Not complete independence, because as we mentioned yesterday, no nation on earth can really talk about being completely independent of others. All right? Because we are all in this one small place called the world together. And no matter how you look at it, you call it big, but one war in Ukraine, one war in Iraq, one war someplace else, and everybody gets impacted. And this is what the Ukraine, the Russian invasion of Ukraine indicated, just how interdependent we are, right? Something happens 5,000 miles away and it determines the price of cream, bread basket items for all of us here in the Bahamas. So yes, we're talking about independence, and believe me, there's no substitute for self-rule.
That's what I wanted you to comment on, because I hear people speak of this lightly, but given the choice between remaining under the rule of another country and what you have now, you know, why is that even an issue now that some people think that?
I would hate to think that's really still an issue, unless in somebody, weird frame of mind. Yeah, all right. And people keep saying, oh, under the British, it used to be like this.
Mm.
Well, and when you were in your parents' home, they used to provide for you. And it used to be like that. You used to get your meals on time.
Nice.
But isn't it good to know that you are now working and you can determine when you want to eat, what you want to eat, how much you want to make, how much you want to save, right? So all of that is a part of human and personal, psychological, emotional development.
Mm.
And anytime, let's face it, we have children in our homes and we know just what it is. They want to insert independence at a certain time, right? At age 14, 15, or even when they're a little smaller. Dad, I'll do it. Papa, let me do it. And
I could do it myself.
Right. And you're teaching them to be independent. And of course, even when they become independent, or age 20, 21, 22, 23, they still are, Dad, you get one, slow, whatever it is, 20 or 50. And that's fine, you know, because we are still in this thing together. You see, because there's no such thing as complete independence, as I will preach on Sunday. The highest form of anything to do with dependence is interdependence. I think I've heard you say this on your show before, right? Because there is dependence, there is independence, but there is also interdependence. I for you, you for me. And that is what makes the world go round, when I could depend on you to be there for me.
It is easy to see how the greatest form of maturity is interdependent, because I can live with myself, but living with other people functionally and positively, that requires even more of me. And so the more interdependent you can live with others, the more mature you are.
Of course. Because you realize that you have something to contribute. We keep talking about the legacy that we have. I forgot which economist said, we have not inherited the world from our forebears. We have borrowed it from our children. You see, all right, the what we get from our forebears is the legacy, is our heritage. What we do now is the legacy that we will leave that will be somebody else's
heritage.
And that's what's supposed to be important at this stage. You know, how much better is the Bahamas better off for our having passed through? We keep expecting this person, this politician, this person, your ma, your pa, the church, to be doing all these things. What are you doing to say, here I am, I have passed through here? Not that we'll get it perfectly, but you could say that. This is my small, unique, and peculiar contribution to the development of the country. I have received, yes, a goodly heritage, but I will leave a legacy that my children, my grandchildren, would be grateful for. I'll leave this, not leave, because I ain't going right now unless you're throwing me off your show. But
not a possible chance.
There's a saying, well, it's a combination of two thoughts. The Indians say, blessed is the man who plants a tree in whose shade he will not sit. But I add something to that, and it's not original. I had a person who came into St. Matthew's, and he coined the phrase, we sit in the shade of a tree we did not plant. We are planting a tree in whose shade we will not sit. Did you see the beauty of that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. You know something, though?
Beauty of life.
You know, but just before we take a break, in the pre-independent Bahamas, how did the British influence and rule reflect on the Bahamas itself? On people's minds, people's behavior, people's expressions, people's realities? How did you see that?
It's hard to say how you found that. It is what it is. It was what it was. You know that you real power, and especially since we moved from one stage into internal self-government, you can transition. So you could get an appreciation. Was it the 65 Constitution when Sir Rowland became premier, all right, the first premier? So you can see that unfolding, and you can see where you kind of need to go. You know that more and more Black people or Bahamian people are beginning to take hold of the reins in certain areas. So as time goes on, you know that inevitably we will become an independent nation. Because you had Jamaica in 62, right? Barbados in 66. When was Guyana now? 65? So, or Trinidad? Something like that. So you can see it rolling. And if you're a student of history, or if you study current events at the time, you will know that there were the African colonies all becoming decolonized. So in your mind, you're already starting to think, when is it going to happen here? And of course, when you start with Jamaica in 62, you see the inevitability of all of this taking place.
What did the civil service leadership of pre-independent Bahamas, and I mean that close to independence, but what did that leadership look like? Like permanent secretaries or people who headed the, were they British or were they, who were they? What did they look like?
In many, they were British. Or people who started to be trained by the British with a view to taking over. But whatever you say about Hillman's legacy, I went to England in 1970 to start my training there. But at that time, and that's like 3 years after majority rule, but by then, Hillman had already sent Will Gibson, who became controller at Telco, Warren Roll, who recently died, Garnet Knowles, who became treasurer, Clarence Smith, I think Joe Micklewhite was in that crew. He had already sent a cadre of persons to study to take over the reign of administration in various areas. And of course, he worked very hard an in-service award, full in-service award. So the man I talked about went over there with their families. All right. And they were able to get their CPAs and, or no, it wasn't CPAs, ACCA. Right? That's the British equivalent of CPA. You know all about that much more than I do. But they were able to get that, and those men, to a lesser extent, women, continued. And they became top civil servants. And I'm glad they stayed in the service so that the country could benefit more from the investment in those persons. So there were very few opportunities for us to do that. Having left school, high school in 1968, you hardly thought about going off to school, especially right away. The most you could think about going to teachers' college or Bahamas Technical School to be secretarial or something like that, or you get a job in the bank if you get a couple of GCs, or you work in one of the uniform areas of government. There were so few, there were very limited options for people then. Now, of course, it's wide open. But there's no doubt about it. The civil service, quite naturally, was staffed by people that the British put in place. And I guess you say, why not? I'm not too sure how intentionally, I'm not able to speak on that. They really were looking forward to the time when they made their own position obsolete, right? But Miles Monroe would say, success without succession is failure. Now, supposed to into obsolescence. Say, I've gone to the colony. is my duty, yes, to serve Queen and country and the colony to the best of my ability. But I would like to think, and I'm sure some of them did it, don't get me wrong, they saw it as their duty, some of them, to train a cadre of Bahamians to take over.
Well, you know, it is a colonization is an act of enfranchisement to some degree, because what the colonizer tries to do is to make of the territory a franchise of it. And what do franchisees do? Franchisees train leadership and ownership or renters or leasers to run a franchise like it would run itself, and then they go off and live somewhere else in the world.
By all means, but of
course. So they teach you. They teach you their English. They teach you their dress. They teach you their drinking tea. They teach you lots of things, so that in essence, you appear in many ways like a British colony or like a colony.
That's right, and of course. In 95 degree sun, we dressed up in black coats.
Precisely. Look, as wonderful as they look. Look at our officers and how they are dressed in the heat of the day.
Yep.
We're gonna take a break. Father James Palacios is with us today. We're gonna continue our discussion on independence when we come back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
My Gateway has marked a major milestone. Over 100,000 registered users worldwide can now enjoy secure access to over 60 government services online. There is much more to come. Our digital transformation journey just keeps getting better. What are you waiting for? Sign up at mygateway.gov.bs today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I'm
marched the car. The lady who ran into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. Chicago Line, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I am here with the illustrious Archdeacon of Father James Palacios, who spent, was it 42 years in ministry, sir?
More than that, man. I was ordained in 1975 at age 23.
Wow. That's
48.
That's a lifetime.
Enjoyed it tremendously. In officially from full-time ministry, as you know, you get that straight from full-time ministry.
Right, exactly.
2018, but enjoyed all of it. Of course, it had its challenges like everything else, but I also enjoyed it. And I'm really enjoying this phase of my life as well. Here, some people say, how are you doing? They say, taking one day at a time. Well, the truth is, that's all you could take.
any day. go ahead.
If it's a message I have to tell people, prepare for your retirement. Mm. If God spares life and you live long enough, you're going to need to have a proper retirement plan. That's physically, relationally, financially, etc. We all make some mistakes. We lose a lot of money personally in business and otherwise, and I lost a lot in my businesses that I've been in and made some too. But you really need to prepare for retirement. And you can do that one day at a time, but just know that we can't be looking forward to government. I've seen too many people who are sick, old, and broke, and angry with the world for what they, in many instances, they themselves brought on themselves. Not that we don't make mistakes, you know.
We all do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, you were 21 and at the point of independence. And I have this question for you, a couple of questions, actually. So did independence arise as a longing and a expressed desire of a people, or did the leadership of the Bahamas come to the people and say, it is time? And then, did you see how things evolved so that this notion that this one, the FNM opposed it, the PLP supported it, or this set of people opposing this set of people, how did that all play itself out? But in the first instance, was this top down or was this bottom up?
Mostly top down.
Okay.
Leadership, of course, involves citing it, and through your charisma, through the confidence reposed in you, people buy into the vision. I think, let's face it, 5 years after majority rule, whatever Pinlin told people to do, invariably we did it. Full stop. Okay. That's what, because people had already seen what he was able to do in terms of not only formally breaking down certain barriers, but trying to put certain things into place to empower the regular, average, like to call the common man. So whether that was the bend or break speech to the very powerful people in the Grand Bahama Port Authority, A.D. Hanna's Bahamianization process, the proliferation of more educational opportunities at college level, at secondary school level, and then, of course, beyond in the form of COB, which came after independence, of course. But the process of evolution and people, the world is still small regardless of how we look at it. So you catch on to what was happening in other parts of the world. So, and you also had movements like the one, of course, you had the Vanguard Nationalist and Socialist Party. You had UNICOM, headed by, I know Frankie Wilson was in that, Sean McQueenie was in that, Perry Christie was in that, some other folks who have gone on to do very well were in that. So you had agitation for more cities from these circles. And so that continued to evolve into the movement. And of course, you're dealing with a group that says, yes, the people are ready. You might say that, and it is established that the opposition at the time was against it. But I believe if you had asked them personally right then, they probably only objected because they weren't the ones doing it.
Was it that they were against it? Because from my own research, it wasn't all a matter of being against independence as much as it was that they felt the timing was not right.
The timing was not right. It meant that since way in the seat, the carriage were all extremely angry with Finland. Right? And so for whatever reason, the dissident eight in November or so of 1970. There were very few people who were more nationalistic than successful. And of course the Arthur and some of the rest of them. Okay.
And quite frankly, some of my very inside information suggested that Sir Lyndon himself was not as convinced about the timing as was A.D. Hanna.
That's a fact.
That in fact, it was a move by Mr. Hanna and the cabinet that prompted him to return quickly home and actually to get on board.
Force his hands.
Yes, that's forced. Okay.
If you would ask all of them separately, because don't forget now, the main leadership of the FNM at that time were members of the Free PLP, the Dissident Eight, who were very much a part of the leadership of the FNM at the time, who were a part of majority rule. So I'm sure that it talks about majority rule. They were talking about moving on to this time of independence, but they couldn't, in their mind, in my words, couldn't countenance giving Pinland more power.
we have some interesting texts. I'd love to hear you respond to, but let's take another break and pay our respects to our wonderful sponsors, and then we'll come back and I'll read these texts so you can get your feedback on them. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to See Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this message.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, you on this journey, for every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
It's so rewarding. With my Fidelity credit card, I get the best prices with price protection. Earn and redeem freedom points at my favorite stores. Get cash back. Plus, I booked a cruise. Get your Fidelity credit card today. Call 356-7764. Fidelity, we're
good for you. My Gateway has marked a major milestone. Over 100 users worldwide can now enjoy secure access to over 60 government services online. There is much more to come because our digital transformation journey just keeps getting better. What are you waiting for? Sign up at mygateway.gov.bs today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny? All black up yesterday.
She's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up. Know what you saying?
So what we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Galang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. We're here with Father James Palacios. We're talking about this 50th anniversary of independence we have coming up. So Father, let me read some of these texts for you.
Okay.
It says, I'm listening to Be Educated, best show on radio, listening from Exuma. Thank you very much. Says, yes, it's the same way most of the people be ignorant and the time when they believe the lies told to them so they can vote for them to get in power, not independent, only self-governance and limitations.
Okay.
this person says, good day. On paper, yes, we are independent on paper. The real question is, have we set up ourselves to truly meet our internal needs? And what we cannot meet on our own, work out independent deals that benefit us and other parties involved. I don't feel we have reached that point in our nationhood. At 50 years, we have a long way to go to take the shackles off our minds. Our independence may be declared, but we have yet to truly realize its gravity. Father, you want to weigh in on that?
Sorry, I was distracted.
This person says, on paper, yes, we're independent. The real question is, have we set ourselves up to truly meet our internal needs? And what we cannot meet on our own, work out interdependent deals that benefit us and the other parties involved. I don't feel we have reached that point of our nationhood. At 50 years, we have a long way to go to take the shackles off our minds. Our independence may be declared, but we have yet to truly realize its gravity.
I accept that with some reservation, in that you're never truly independent. You ask the great USA if every decision they make is completely out of their so-called independence, right? But no, there's still some.
I would put the modifier on independence this way, though, because I don't hold a reservation about our being independent, because we are. We are absolutely independent. We can make any decision we want to make without reference to anybody else. There is no country on planet Earth, no power on planet Earth that the Bahamas has to say before it makes any decision. Can I check with you? I have to check with you first, and you give me permission to do so. It is true, just like any human being, when we think to do some things, we have to think, how will this person, that person, and may we modify our behavior in order to ensure we don't offend someone we don't want to offend or need. I can do that.
Yeah, I lost you just now, but I think I got the gist of what you're saying, and you're correct. And I believe that's what that person is trying to say. We are independent categorically. We have attained independence categorically. We sit at the table at the UN and other agencies in Geneva and elsewhere as partners. Nobody is there representing us. However, they asked, have we put in place some things that would provide for all our various needs? We have come a long way, you know, and I wish we would just, in this Bahamas, celebrate some of the things that people are dying to come here for.
Okay. But even Father, to your point about not being ever independent, that same person who is asking if the country can take care of its own internal needs and then have interdependent relationships that meet its own needs, the answer to that question is categorically yes. Categorically yes. Look at the material prosperity of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. How did that happen? By the choices we have made. The choices we have made. No country can feed itself.
None.
At least, not on the lifestyle choices of Bahamians, for instance. Mm-hmm. If Bahamians wanted to live off of such kinds of things, we could feed ourselves tomorrow. But if you want Captain Crunch, steak, and those kinds of things, we cannot.
Yep, that's where the end of the...
You want apples and strawberries and blueberries? You cannot. And the government cannot make that happen for us.
Ask the great America if she is feeding herself.
80% of American Fortune 500 companies are in China, manufacturing in China and doing stuff in China, in Mexico, et cetera.
Okay, full stop. Yeah. Full stop. And of course, even in areas where there is good manufacturing, especially for agricultural purposes, who heads that? They have to rely so much on foreign labor to do that. This world is an interdependent on it.
In fact, if any Bahamian wants to know how dependent the world is, go to every country and ask, and look at, go on the internet and simply ask, what does this country import?
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason why you are importing something is because you can't produce it or don't feel like you can produce it effectively enough for yourself.
That's right.
So every country imports. Canada, United States, China, Germany, et cetera, hence the World Trade Organization.
That's right. And I just came back from Geneva, being a part of the delegation to the ILO. You remember when I met you there in 2017, I think it was, or 2018? You ran off from us to do your show.
I did indeed. We can speak to this one maybe after. It says, Mr. Lang, who is we? You mean them, eh? Those in the house whom makes the discussions are the ones who decides, not the we which you speak of. We never given the option to decide on the things you speak of. But material comfort should never come in the way of doing what's right. Nothing changed from the day before and after independence other than the flags being switched. Can you name major changes that occurred? Great Britain still decides we can't. Man, listen to me. All I'm going to tell you is, whoever you are, please inform yourself. Because if you had listened to Father Malaysius, you would know how absolutely incorrect you are. Absolutely incorrect. And you must be a very young person. That's all I can say. Father, am I wrong? That gotta be a younger person.
You're right.
That'll be a young person. You could not have lived prior to 1973.
Yes, they what has changed, they.
Yeah.
I put it to them. If that's an 18 or 20 or 25 year old, if they want to be honest, they could reflect on what has happened in the last 25 years. But
yeah,
you know, because some things have happened. Let's face it, factually speaking, though, some things have somewhat, or at least apparently, degenerated.
Absolutely.
Certain areas, when it comes to filth and garbage collection and stuff, it looks like we have regressed. But in so many other areas, look at City 2000 out there. You know, I remember when I left high school in 68, you could buy a lot out in Golden Gates, $100 down, $100 a month. Look how at what has happened out there for anything.
Well, you know, we're gonna take a break, but prior to 1973, $20 million was not spent on scholarship for Bahamians.
Okay. That's right.
Period. $20 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
The University of the Bahamas did not exist.
That's right.
We can move on. we're gonna take a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back after this news break. We'll be back.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Be Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Father Palacios, James Palacios is here with us today. We're talking about our 50th anniversary of independence. Let me just check with the producer. I don't have any guests in the studio yet, hey? Any other guests? So we can continue. I don't have to interrupt my present guest. Producer just waiting on a word from you. Not yet. All right. Okay, thank you, producer. I appreciate it. All right. So just before we get to some more of these, I got a lot of texts, Father. I had a lot of texts. People are waiting, and I want to get to them, but I wanna ask you, on the actual day of independence, July 10th, 1973, what do you recall? How do you recall that unfolding? What do you recall?
I only recall being out at Clifford Park and seeing it come down. And I don't remember if tears were in my eyes, who were much older and who quite naturally would have had more experience under colonial rule, and for whom that meant so much more to them personally and experientially than it would have meant for me. Partly because I believe that I expected it to happen, and I had only lived under colonial rule for 21 years. But for somebody who was longing, to use a scriptural phrase, for the salvation of Israel, and I don't want to sound sacrilegious, but you know, who was looking forward to it, who had lived out that kind of experience much longer than I had. So it was very impactful, but it was so meaningful. You just can't imagine. And even though there was the issue of the cry for secession by the people of Abaco, after a while they came with the program. They continued to work hard as they have and continued to develop the third largest economy in the archipelago and have diversified their economies. And that is what it's all about. You express your dissidence, you express your differences, but in the final analysis, we are all Bahamian. So when that fly came down, that you is one raucous roar. And it was just be a part of that.
And then the day after, you wake up the next day, July 11th, and you are now the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, an independent country. What did that seem or feel like to you?
Quite frankly, everybody's just partying then, you know. So, this is no time to be philosophical, man.
Right.
A 20-year-old fellow partying, right?
You're having a ball.
you're having a ball. Now, when you go back and you're in academia and you're in that highly charged political discourse and stuff, then you start to appreciate what you have done. You've been in situations where you say, wow. It's only afterwards you say, wow, sure. Look at what you've done.
Sure.
And of course, the debate can look at where we have messed up. Let's face it, we have messed up in many, many areas, but thank God we have achieved a whole lot in many, many other areas as well.
This text says, Minister Lang, it's the economy. I never heard these debates about the legitimacy of independence in the 90s when things were good. I happen to believe that is some part of it for sure. Because, you know, Father, I continue to say that millennials and those who come after them have never lived in a sustained, prosperous Bahamas. Never.
Yeah.
The last time the Bahamas had a period of sustained prosperity was in the 90s. Since 2001, the Bahamas has never had a sustained period of prosperity, of rapid growth, rapid growth, significant job creation. That has not happened since 2001. So anyone who has been coming into their formation since 2001 has lived in the Bahamas that they feel is underperforming in terms of their own aspirations.
And they're right to feel so, because you just given facts. We don't have to speculate about it. But even in the midst of that, have some good things happened? Yes. Have we made some progress? Yes. But again, you could be in New York City with 2 million people around you, but you can feel lonely and alone.
Sure.
There's a FM station that everybody listens to. I might have told you before. FM station, in every language there is, WIIFM. What's in it for me, right? So if it ain't, you could even argue that if you go into a place where everybody is celebrating and you personally have very little to celebrate, the stark difference between their reality and yours is even more pronounced. And that is why it is a statistical fact that on high celebration days like Christmas, very often suicide
is higher.
You would say
the most suicides are committed on Christmas Day.
Right. Yeah. That's the point. Because in the midst of all of that, they don't see it for them.
What I find tragic, though, and I say it's tragic because it's not useful or helpful, but I understand that it can. Well, this is where we are called to a greater awareness and critical analysis for ourselves, because I have to be able to understand. Well, I should. It would be useful for me to understand that notwithstanding my personal anecdotes, notwithstanding my personal experience, that my experience may not be the shared experience. Therefore, I can't allow the world to be colored by my personal experience. Insofar as I'm describing it, if I'm describing me, that's one thing. But by imposing myself on it, that's a problem.
But that also requires a degree of maturity.
But that's my point. Yes, you have to come to a point of consciousness and awareness to get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Color on the.
Definitely. This text says, Mr. Lang, each day I awaken and realize that I can freely publicly express my faith in God. I celebrate life. My only wish for us in the Bahamas is to be able to separate politics from best interests of country. I am celebrating. God bless the Bahamas. Wow. Nice.
Amen.
Nice. Says, man, the tragedy of the Bahamian intellectual. When one uses the war in Ukraine as a model of independence, interdependence, when we will produce truly liberated minds, demand reparations from Europe for the atrocities committed against the majority of the peoples of the world and their continuing exploitation. The Europeans, wherever they want, encounter nations, nor did they travel finding starving people, unwanted children, crime, or poverty long before. That is breaking up. That's long and breaking up. I'm sorry, I cannot read them. It says, I disagree with your guest. It was bottom up because the independence of the nations around us was known to the people just as he was a student caught up in the time, so were the people. Ask him if he feels our leaders could have done more to remove the ways of the oppressor from amongst us. If the protocols set forth by Moses in wilderness were fulfilled by our leaders, in the wilderness, Moses tried to purge the ways of the oppressor out of the people.
Yes, I could answer by saying, yes, there's always more we could have done. There's almost always more that we still need to do, but just thank God for what we have been able to do, not being complacent by us, but by saying, in the words of Scripture, there's still more land to be possessed.
This text says, please stop. Can we tell the truth? It is neoliberal economic policies that have resulted in the distribution of manufacturing and food production around the globe. This is a very recent phenomenon for the majority of human history. Nations fed themselves the tragedy of the Bahamian intellectual. First of all, you need to read economic history a little bit more, my friend. Nations of the world have been trading for 3,000 plus years. 3,000 years. Before Jesus Christ came to planet Earth, nations have been trading. So you can't, there was no neoliberal economic policies in existence then. There was this human aspiration to meet their own population's needs, do so in their own spaces. And so where other countries were producing wheat and other countries were producing barley and other countries were producing other things, nations found a way to trade with each other. So this nonsense talk, it is absolute nonsense talk. Human desire and need pushed trade, not policies which came many thousands of years later in terms of schools of economics. All right, so some of you, I ask you to take some time. Take some time to stop pushing around terminologies that you think might get you somewhere and really understand what was happening. Because at the end of the day, economists and others are only describing the phenomena that they see and observe in the world. They are not creating those phenomena for the most part. They may inform them and may guide them and advise by them, but largely they are seeking to understand and to explain why they see what they see.
Point taken, sir. I couldn't agree with you more. People have always been trading, and that ain't gonna stop. In fact, that's how Columbus came here. That's how other people went to other parts of it. Like you say, thousands of years ago.
Thousands
of years. And that's how we got peopled by various tribes of Indians. People took canoes and that trade going for a so-called better way of life.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't even know if it's better. You just go at adventure and pursuit of happiness and a better or different quality of life.
Absolutely. And there were no great economists around giving advice to Egypt and to Mesopotamia and these countries. There were no John Maynard Keynes and Milton Friedman and Adam Smith around. The people you live and survive. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. No? Okay. 50 years as we are now standing on the threshold of this celebration, what would you say are our greatest achievements since independence?
Notwithstanding people's assertion that, the middle class has been decimated, yes, have we lost some grounds there? But you could only lose if you had, right? So I'm suggesting that, we have made, let's look at UB, man. We have put, where you studied first. Didn't you go to COB?
I went to the College of the Bahamas. I was its student government president at one point.
Okay, your mouth was hard from then.
from then, but not as hard as some of my other colleagues who were much more assertive than I was.
No, but let's face it, look at the infrastructure in all of these islands. So much so, I know this sounds ridiculous, that you could have a power plant in North Andros to burn down. I remember when the bishop and I used to go there, having been ordained from 1975, we used to sleep in the catechist house. People like Clara Evans and others, when we go to Andrus, you go there. And when you go to Middle Andrus, there was Bill Adley. We slept in their house, and they were some of the few people who had just infrastructure that is extremely costly to put in. You remember when Hubert Ingraham came to power in 92? He went, you could correct me, I don't mind, went to the IDB and said, look, we need some infrastructural money for the infrastructure that has been neglected for so many years. And he went on a so-called rampage throughout the country. We need to tell people it wasn't always like this. That's why when I go to schools, I tell children, do not take your education for granted. Yes, you mightn't have all that you would wish, but look at where we have come from. Yes, there are lots of equipment, lots of things we still need, but we have come a mighty long way. And I think the more we could celebrate some of our achievements, the less we would be concerned with what we don't have. So yeah, let's look at healthcare. Look at the many clinics. Yes, NIB doesn't have some of the money to work with now because successive governments have decided, look here, it's important to put in this infrastructure, health, education, physical infrastructure, telecommunications. Now I go in the bush in Inagua hunting, I could take my cell phone and carry it. If something goes wrong out on the high seas, you have it. It is there. Many things we have done extremely well in. Look at the number of banks. Look at the number of immigration, police, and other officers around. Look at Bay Street. Stop looking when you pass East Street. But it's there. Now, of course, unfortunately, we have so many non-nationals now owning stores on Bay Street. That never used to be the case. Now, how you curb that in all this international way of doing business and stuff is another matter. But we've come a long way, man. And look at what's happening over in Palmdale. Look at what's happening on Wolf Road, where many more smaller businesses. I already mentioned the City 2000. All of these are areas in which we have done well, and the so-called smaller people have been able to do so. When we were growing up, it was the Kellys and the rest of them that only one selling lumber. Now you have the Cartwrights and the AIDs and the rest of them. They're people basically who look like you and me.
Did Bahamians own any banks pre-1973?
Oh, yeah.
People's Spanish Savings Bank, yeah.
Which was a cooperative effort.
Yeah.
And again, by Cleveland Aeneas, A. Leon McKinney, and some of them who said, you know, we need to stop talking about what the white man doing to us and try to save money ourselves so that we can lend it to ourselves.
So there was the big People's Spanish Savings Bank, and today there is what?
There is
Fidelity, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity, Bank of Bahamas.
But more so there is Commonwealth Bank, which is 100%
Bahamian owned. Yeah.
No, so you have that. Then you had Bodie had a bank on Wolf Road as well.
Mm-hmm. Just
on East Street, on Wolf Road, east of that's Market Street. So there were attempts. They weren't successful to the point of going on for many, many years. But you know, you gotta start somewhere and you gotta allow people to dream. So people who started that had a dream.
And it's easier to dream in an independent world. But by the way, we have a call on the line, Father. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Hey, good man. How are you?
Good afternoon, Father Palacios.
Good afternoon, man.
Sparky here.
Okay.
I can hardly hear you. The volume is so low.
Well, that's okay. You, though. That's not us. We have no issues.
Yeah, okay, because I got my own up. But I like the voice of, I like to thank Father Palacios for some of the personal things he taught me. And that is a good day. But then you don't know what I'm saying, too, you know.
I do what?
Oh, he might be Frank Sinatra.
Oh, I know. We played Father on the show, man. We've done that before.
That man can sing, boy. But let me tell you something. Once again, Father Felicius, thank you very much for the things you taught me. But sometimes, although we're celebrating, I remember, like you talk about the night, that great night. I remember on the north side, right north of the flag, underneath the grape tree, and I stood there. And that flag went up for the first time, that roar, like he said. The people that you turned around and you saw them crying, tears of joy. The next day, the Junkanoo, we were in party mood. And I think, like Father Belasius said, those first 15 years, I think it was, after that day, we were like on a jet ski on a move. And for some reason, I don't know what happened, man. Father Belasius could tell you, we got our own milk and pineapples and chicken, Elutra, and everything. But what saddens me nowadays, there's a lot of people in this country, because of the change of time, would like to get into things like agriculture and farming and everything. And we talk about this land that the people inherited. And for some reason, the leaders of the day hold this land, and people beg for the land, they become farmers and everything. And they pick their friends, their cronies and things to give the land. And instead of people farming on the land, they build condominiums, churches, and everything.
We're not doing that today, producer. We got to go to break. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to D-Live. I'm Shivaga Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Good, why are you so sweaty?
Girl, I'm getting ready for the Bahamas Games.
Bahamas Games? What that is?
The game started in 1989 under the then Minister of Sports, Peter J. Bethel, and now Minister Mario Boleg.
When the games is?
This July 7th to the 15th.
For more info,
go to www.thebahamasgames.org
or call 322-1029.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
You marched the car?
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today. We're here with Father James Felicius. We're talking about independence. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. All right. I guess we may have lost them. Sorry. This text says, Lang, I don't know about you. I don't know what you're talking about. It's this neo-colonialism oppressive system that has betrayed my skills for the other man. you know the point that they are making, right? all these people who talk about independence and are people who probably work for somebody, who probably have to rely sell something too, which means that, well, if you have to rely on somebody else, then there's no independent soul on the planet, because I don't know anybody who doesn't.
You ever know anybody who isn't trading what they do for money from somebody else?
Not anybody living in an economy. Maybe if you're living on an island by yourself, maybe, but not anybody who trade. Say, let's fucking know the milk, pineapple milk, etc. from the Lutra was coming way before independence. It was actually stuffed after independence around 1988, laugh out loud. Godfrey Ineas told me personally in front of Wendell Jones with Jeffrey or Davis at my side as witness, he's personally stopped it. He was the minister correct, not to mention the Shirley Cattle and Rock Sound S&M Farms, Owens, Illinois, got a list. 50 years of your party, years of their party, and not one new hospital still have to go to the 1952 British hospital. Well, first of all, my friend, I hear you for all the other things, but you need to get your facts right, because we may not have a new hospital, but Hubert Alexander Ingram constructed an $80 million state-of-the-art modern center there at the Princess Margaret Hospital, and that in and of itself was a significant achievement. Lots of clinics built and so forth, but I mean, hey, if you wanted a brand new tear down the Princess Margaret, I could understand that. I got you on that point.
That's where some of the botanical money went, right?
At the end of the day, all these monies get meshed together with all the borrowed monies to pay for these and fund these things. But at the time of independence, the Anglican Church, the Baptist Church, the Catholic Church, of the denomination, Christian denominations in the country, right?
Most definitely, especially Anglicans being a British church.
Right. So what was there? What do you know? Was the mood, the role, the part played by them?
I would say this categorically. At that time, we had our own bishop. We had our Anglican bishop, but the colonial bishop before him, Bernard Markham, who came in 1962 and left in 1972. It was his mission, and he intentionally tried to prepare us as Bahamian men at the time to take over the reign. When I came back from seminary in 75, there weren't too many. We still had a number of non-Bahamian priests in many of the islands, many of the positions. So Bishop Eldon took over in 72, and of course he ushered us into independence and even beyond. We have a church that is so closely related to England, and some of us find it difficult to extricate ourselves from some of the hardcore Anglo-Catholic expression of Anglicanism. And for some people, that works. For others, again, you have churches that are more of a mixed bag, so to speak, Holy Trinity, and in particular, that's probably the best example of persons breaking away, so to speak, from the hardcore British expression of Anglicanism. But you have an Anglican church now that would not readily be recognized by some people pre 1970, let's say, or 73, because we have done some things. On the other hand, in some cases you wonder what has changed. Of course, the leadership in the church, like it has in many other denominations, Roman Catholics included. I'm just pointing to the denominations where you have a larger concentration of non-nationals. And of course, and I speaking for them, I'm just making a present-day analysis, quite frankly, and it's not a value judgment, it's just
a statement of fact, Methodist, because we haven't, I talk subject to correction, but I believe I'm correct. We've never really had a Bahamian Presbyterian presence. I don't know, but I, as I said, I talk subject to correction. Have you ever had one? You have a Presbyterian church in Freeport.
Yes, and I do. I believe that the head is not a Bahamian. I believe so. The thing about it is, it's hard even to know that grouping so well unless you are involved, because they are not very out there. You know, they do their work and whatever, but you know, I don't know much either in terms of
visibility. But as far as the church is concerned, we have to find our own way and our own expression, because we are still people of African descent who have been colonized, who have been indoctrinated, who have taken on many of the aspects and mores and practices of the colonial masters.
even within the context of faith?
Within the context of faith and the church. Yeah, because there's still some people who would, you know, what you clapping in church for? Die Anglican. You hardly hear that now, because even in the probably the most conservative Anglican church, people would clap from time to time. But, you know, 20, 30 years ago, people look around and ask you, and in some cases, people have been asked to leave. If you can't be quiet. But, you know, God has been good to all of our churches. The churches have really expanded their outreach ministry. You look at it. This is an extremely good case of the collaboration of church and state in humanizing our people, especially through education.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because this text is quite relevant to that point you made. The text says, Father James, you spoke of the new morality in the 70s. Where is our moral compass today?
It's working out. You know, well, let's look at the whole issue of gender and all this LGBTQT, the various letters of the alphabet. You know, the world is in a mess in certain areas now. There's no doubt about it. You know, you don't know who is who and who they are. You know, that's another show for another time. But the point is, the world has become extremely liberal, and what used to be called sin is no longer called sin. It's just a modern expression of who I am.
But if one looks at the Bible, this seems to be a revolving reality for human beings, because if you take the early days of God's created human beings, they went from the people God gave instructions to a people who had so angered him because of their behavior that he sent a flood. And then after a period of time, that they did what they needed to do. And then they went back to a time when Moses had the people persuade God not to take them all out. It seems like we go through these periods of conservatism to more liberalism, and maybe if we will rebound, even though this period of liberalism seems to be more extended.
Yeah, it's definitely more extended, and it's accelerating, you see. That's the thing. And you wonder, Lord, what's next? You know, let's face it, look at fashion. You know, at one point, women dressed modestly and, you know, with lots of dignity, and that was the ideal. Men, boys aspire to be gentlemen, girls aspire to be ladies. You look at how they dress now, and that not only at Fish Fry. You look at how they dress when they come to church, Chivago. You know, I mean, let's face it, it's ridiculous what some people come to church. You think they're going to a cocktail reception? And it's so wrong, but if you miss and talk to them, then they catch feelings, as they say. And of course, they want to know that's their business. If that's how they want to behave, then they could behave the way they want to behave. Wow. We're really in bad shape in many areas.
It is interesting to generation to generation. I would love to say, well, I think I can say comfortably that the older generations of Bahamians, I'm talking about those who are 60 and older, are more conservative than the Generation X's who follow them, but they are certainly mentioned the millennials and so forth and so forth. So we seem to be moving in this more liberal direction. The further down the generations you get, and with it, the country's collective moral makeup. Let's say, no.
The more liberal you are, the more philosophically, and as far as economic principles are concerned, politically, you are more liberal. So quite naturally, in sexual and other morality, moral expressions, you are far more liberal. Now, how do you, it's difficult to talk about stemming the tide. And you wonder, where will it all end? Or how far are we going? You know, when you're going to talk now about 5 and 6 year old being with gender, you know, what sex, what gender they are. You know, you say, Lord have mercy. You wonder what's next. You wonder what next. You know, you look around now, you see people wearing pants torn up. You buy it like that. Yes, you know,
some of it torn to the crotch, so that you can see up somebody's dress and pants and see their private their underwear and older women and older men are doing this and saying, you know, this is what I'm gonna do, cause I ain't gonna be no oldie foldie.
In the midst of this, and I know we are winding down, in the midst of this, we still have to minister to people. And hopefully, this is a pendulum swing. And like everything else, sometimes you go far to the right, and then it starts to come back. And hopefully, if the church could carry its witness wherever there is behavior that we believe is antisocial, immoral, anti-God, we just have to continue to minister in those areas in particular a little more intentionally. It's pretty obvious that this many people in this generation just think that the church is irrelevant. So we can't write off people who think so. We have to find ways to relate to them. In independent Bahamas, or wherever we are, man, these are our children, these are our people, these are our young people, these are our middle-aged, these are our millennials. Well, we are interdependent. You see,
we'll take our final break, and then when we come back, I got to read this one for you because I think you'll find it very interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We'll take our final break, and then we'll come back and wrap up. We'll follow James Palacios. We'll be back after this break.
With our new Independence King Combo. Enjoy a flame-grilled beef patty topped with savory bacon, arugula, crisp onion rings, and our special tropical sauce on a brioche bun. Served with fries and a drink for a flavor sensation fit to celebrate every year. Top off the Independence celebrations with our new Guava Sundae or frozen guava lemonade. Our Independence King Combo and treats are available for a limited taste is king.
Are you dreaming of the perfect summer getaway? Apply for a debt consolidation or personal loan to win an airline ticket to Paris, Miami, or New York. Win up to $2,500 in cash and more. For details, call 356-7764 for Nassau, 602-6811 for Freeport, 823-4374 for Abaco.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I avoid?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to these final moments of Z Live. I'm Shivago Lime, your host, and I'm here with Father James Palacios, and we're talking about our 50th independence coming up. Father, this text says, Mr. Lime, please ask your guest, from a biblical perspective, why it is it okay for us to continue serving the God of our oppressor when the main objective of Moses and the Bible was the complete opposite. The theme of the Bible was to serve the gods of our forefathers. Yet today we have the same God of those whom oppressed us. How are we ever to be all we can be when we continue to be the tail and not the end? If the foundations are destroyed, there's no hope.
The reality is, yes, it might be the religion of our oppressors, but it's also the religion of some people who didn't oppress us. It is also the religion of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that we look at it from that perspective rather than saying it is the God. God isn't only the God we serve is not only the God of the British and other colonizers. And oppressors. That's the simplest way I could put it. He is still Jehovah Jireh. He is still God, the Father of Jesus Christ, salvation.
Yeah, and I suppose by the logic of that person, if I belong to a Christian community that worships God, and there arises one in my midst who oppresses us, who also says he worships that same God, I should abandon that God.
Yes, that's the logical conclusion of that.
Which means God is defined by the worshiper and not the other way around.
That's right. You know, let's move on. I know we are winding down now.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just like as you and I discussed yesterday, if we could only think of the positive things that we have done. When I say only, not to the exclusion of the challenges we continue to face, but just say that we have these many challenges. We have these many dirty streets, bunch of potholes, etc. But what is it that we have achieved? You see, because the more we dwell on the negative, the more it will overwhelm us. I would like us to talk about the Bahamas to each other, in the way we would talk about it to other people. In other words, when we go to Miami, Chevago, you travel around the world, and to a less extent I have too as well, but most Bahamians are well-traveled compared to many other people in the world. Okay? There are many Americans who have not left their continent. Okay? And now, we all know the high esteem in which the Bahamas is held. Isn't that so?
One of the five most desired places in the world to visit.
Okay. Okay. That isn't because they hear about the problems, although the problems are real. That's because there are many here. Let's celebrate the beauty. As we celebrate the beauty, let's work to conserve and preserve it. Let's take national pride. Let's put some flags on our cars. That ain't only expression of national pride, although it's a visible sign of it. You see, we complain, but the Haitians, how many flags they fly during their flag day? How many flags are we going to see outside of our churches on Sunday morning? I preach this at different churches around this time of the year. Where is the national pride in terms of obeying our own laws? Where is the national pride in upholding our various institutions? Where is the national pride? National pride isn't only attached to the various...
what am I holding up, Father?
You get yours.
You get yours. That's to hang outside my door.
That's right. By all means, do it. Let's do it, because the more we can teach our children to be grateful for what we have, the more they would want to stay in the Bahamas. All right? But if you're on the outside and you hear what people are saying about the Bahamas, would you want to come here? Would you want to come back home? No. And I'm right here now in my son's office, and I'm so grateful to God that he has come back home. He's respected in his career. And there are others like that, you know. Yes, we know about the many who go off and don't come back, but there are also many who come back, struggle. It ain't easy, because some of them don't find their niche right away. And then they come up against some roadblocks with family, friends, and lovers and all that kind of stuff. All of that is real. But in the midst of that, let's see how we could still encourage one another and talk about the Bahamas to one another in the way we talk to others who are not Bahamians, to say that we are a great country. And
yep. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang and to Reverend Palacios. Things have really changed. People do not respect church like they used to. Examples Reverend Palacios gave, the way they address today, to go to church, all their breasts showing, dress is too short. We have progressed in many ways, but we have regressed in our moral standards, and respect has gone out of the door. Personally, I have no problems with clapping, but I don't like too much noise. I want to hear the word of God. God is good for all. State of the highways and Main Street in this place is deplorable. Burgess Main Street's overgrown. We no longer keep our roads clean. No, y'all don't keep some of them roads clean in New Providence. You need to come to Grand Bahama. come to Freeport. The roads are kept very clean.
We all have to keep our own surroundings clean. If everyone around his own doorstep should sweep, then the whole village will be clean. Let's do our part. We are not responsible for what other people do. God is going to hold us responsible for what we have done individually first, then collectively. Let's do our part, man. Still a great country. And let's celebrate it. Thank you for having me, man.
No, Father, thank you. Thank you. Enriched us all today, and we appreciate you very much, sir. Thank you very much. And a happy independence.
Happy independence, Bahamas.
But y'all know what's going on tomorrow, right? Y'all know what's going on. We're going to have a party up in here tomorrow. So y'all stay tuned. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. He spares lives. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. Have a great, great day.
Everybody, everybody.
Z
C Live Off the Record with Cheval Golang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.